you would please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, we're beginning in verse 14. In this passage, we're going to be looking back at something that had already occurred. And that happens sometimes in stories. It's a perfectly legitimate technique, but you have to pay attention to what you're reading, or you can misunderstand it and think this happened, then this happened, then this happened, and then it's like, wait, why is he 7 years old all of a sudden? Happens in movies. It's a legitimate way of telling stories, but it's what's happening here. Something that occurs, in order for you to understand it, you need to know the background. And so we're about to get the background for what occurs in this passage, Okay? In the previous verses, Jesus has sent out the 12. He has given them authority to cast out demons, to heal people, and they are doing that. And so now we begin in verse 14 when Herod hears about the fact that Jesus is working miracles and that his disciples are working miracles. In Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 14, this is God's word. King Herod heard about it because Jesus' name had become well known. Some said, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and that's why miraculous powers are at work in him. But others said, he's Elijah. Still others said, he's a prophet, like one of the prophets from long ago. When Herod heard of it, he said, John, the one I beheaded, has been raised. For Herod himself had given orders to arrest John and to chain him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. So Herodias held a grudge against him and wanted to kill him. But she could not, because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing he was a righteous and holy man. When Herod heard him, he would be very perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. An opportune time came on his birthday when Herod gave a banquet for his nobles, military commanders, and the leading men of Galilee. When Herodias' own daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. The king said to the girl, ask me whatever you want, and I'll give it to you. He promised her with an oath, whatever you ask me, I will give you, up to half my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what should I ask for? John the Baptist's head, she said. At once she hurried to the king and said, I want you to give me John the Baptist's head on a platter immediately. Although the king was deeply distressed because of his oaths and the dinner guests, he did not want to refuse her. The king immediately sent for an executioner and commanded him to bring John's head. So he went and beheaded him in prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When John's disciples heard about it, they came and removed his corpse and placed it in a tomb. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Well, this is a pretty gruesome story. I mean, you know, if they made this into a movie, it would have to be at least PG, probably PG-13, and HBO would probably get hold of it and turn it into something that's R-rated. It's gruesome what happened. So what's the terrible part of this story? man gets his head cut off. That's horrible. Would we all agree that that's a terrible thing? Very brutal, very gruesome, very awful. And yet, folks, that's not all. There's other terrible stuff going on in this story. The first thing is it starts out having told us already that Herod beheaded John the Baptist. So that's not, we're not in suspense as to whether or not that's going to happen. That's referenced right at the start. But then it talks about how that came about. How did Herod get linked up with John the Baptist? Well, because John was preaching that people should repent. Remember his message? Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. That means you need to change. People came to him from all around and they were baptized as a symbol of their wanting to start over, to be cleansed of their sin and get a fresh start and live differently. People came from all around. Well, if he had stayed out there in the middle of nowhere and just preached to the crowds that came to him, it would have been one thing. But he went and told the king, what you're doing is wrong. You've taken your brother's wife, not girlfriend, not former girlfriend, your brother's wife, and you've married her. That's not okay. That is wrong. That is sin. And in telling him that, Herod is like, golly, that makes me uncomfortable. But Herod's wife, Herodias, who'd been married to his brother Philip, that made her angry. She wasn't convicted. She wasn't saying, oh, I shouldn't have gone along with this. I shouldn't be a party to this. This, you know, the prophet is right. I'm in sin. No, she was like, I want him dead. Let me tell you, folks, some people respond to truth with discomfort. But some people respond to truth with anger. It really makes them angry. How dare you say that? How dare you judge me? I've got a level at my house. I also have a plumb line. Now, I haven't used the plumb line in a long time. But I have a habit when I see a picture on the wall. Two of those pictures back there are at the same height. The third one is up slightly. I just see that. Okay? I mean, it's just there. If it's hanging a little crooked, you know, I mean, would it bother you all if I stood here and preached to you like this the whole time? I mean, maybe not. Some people would just take that in stride. Other people would be like, what's wrong with him? Here it is back. What's the matter? Why is he tilted? Okay? Well, in life, there are some things that are wrong and there are some things that are crooked, and you need to know when something's crooked, when something's wrong, you need to know that's not right. It's just not right. If you go out to your car and it's sitting like this, check the tires. You may have a flat. Okay? And if you say, oh, well, doesn't matter, I've still got three that have air, and drive off, you're a very foolish person. Okay? If you got a flat, you need to do something about it. And you need to fix what's wrong. Amen? And in your life, if there's stuff that's out of line, if it's crooked, if it's messed up, if it's not the way it's supposed to be, you need to know that and you need to fix it. It's been a while since I told this story, so I'll tell it now. I don't walk into places with my zipper down. Okay? Just don't do that. Now you say, well, it's easy for you. You've got on that flat bottom shirt, and so the tail is tucked out. And so right now, if your zipper was down, we wouldn't even know. Every time I walk from one room to another, Mr. OCD here checks. Okay? Why? Because when I was 10 years old in the fifth grade, I had to make a book report in front of the class. And I got up in front of the class to make my book report, and some people started to giggle. I didn't know what the matter was, but I could tell something was wrong, and this person's whispering to that person, and I'm getting more uncomfortable. What is the matter? What is going on? I didn't know. Everything seemed fine to me. But there was a girl in that class that I liked. She was beautiful. 10 years old, but already a beauty. Her name was Demi. Kind of like Demi Moore. I actually checked to see if that was her. It wasn't. But Demi was a beautiful young lady, prettiest one in the class as far as I was concerned, and she was sitting right in the front row, right in front of where I'm making my book report. And she was not only good looking, she was a nice girl. That matters. And so she said to me, "Your zipper's down." And my heart just went into my shoes. I just felt sick. How could this be? I get up in front of the class with my zipper down. Now, folks, if you do such a thing, what do you need to do? Say thank you. Turn and fix it, and then give your book report. Not me. No. I just pretended I didn't understand her. I had no clue what was going on. And so standing there with a face that was as red as a tomato, I proceeded to read my book report. And just pretend, I don't know that anything's wrong. I have no idea what people are giggling about. I don't know what you just said. Thank you very much. And then I'm going to go back to my seat after my book report. And after I'm seated back in my seat under my desk, I will wait for a few seconds and then fix my zipper. It was humiliating. It was painful. I could have burst into tears. I suppose that would have been worse. But, I mean, it was a terrible, terrible experience. Okay? And it was made 1,000 times worse because I wouldn't accept the diagnosis and correct the problem. You understand? I could have fixed this. This didn't have to be a big deal. I could have simply turned, corrected the problem, but instead, I ignored the problem and resented the fact that other people had eyesight. Okay? And so, I did do something about it since, and that is, I never walked from one room to another without checking my zipper, even at my own house. Okay? If you ever see me up here with my zipper down, don't just tell me, call my wife and say, it's time to put him down. Okay? Because I'm just telling you, I have a lifelong habit of making sure that never happens again. You understand? This is not going to happen. Not going to have that happen. No way. No way. Now, I tell that story because I want you to understand if you see me going like this, I'm not trying to keep myself from falling apart, you know. See, what is that? I want you to understand that if something is wrong, ignoring it doesn't make it better. Okay? Pretending it's not so doesn't solve the problem, doesn't make it go away, doesn't cause other people to say, oh, I guess his pants are supposed to be like that. No, life doesn't work like that. If you've got a problem, if you're doing something wrong, and it's pointed out to you, you need to correct the problem. Some of you sometimes do things incorrectly. And other people point it out to you. And when that happens, you can respond by saying, oh, thank you, and fix it. Or you can respond by acting like, well, what's wrong with the way I did it? What makes you think you've got it right? Okay? Now, if you do that, you are not being smart. You are being foolish. You understand? People will say, oh, well, maybe 2 plus 2 is 5. Okay? Maybe so. No. You're not going to impress anybody. You're not going to win others over. You're just going to look like an idiot. And we've got a culture full of people who look like idiots trying to defend stuff that is indefensible. Trying to pretend that what they're doing is okay when what they're doing is not okay. Say, well, if enough people say it's okay, then doesn't it become okay? No! Well, who are you to judge? I'm not. This is. God's Word is the standard. God's Word is the measure. It is the plumb line. It is the thing that says, this is right, and if you're not in line with this, you're out of line. Is that clear? That's the wonderful, unchanging Word of God. So, Herod was told by John the Baptist, it is wrong for you to marry a woman who's married to your brother. You may be a little regional king under the Roman thumb, but that doesn't make you God. That woman is married to your brother. For you to take her and marry her yourself, not okay. Not okay. Herod felt convicted, but he knew John was right, and so he protected John from his wife Herodias, who was trying to have him killed. Okay? Says he protected him. How did he protect him? Put him in prison. It's not a very nice protection. I mean, couldn't you have just sent him out to the country and given some soldiers responsibility to guard him? No, John was put in prison. He was guarded. And from time to time, Herod would send for him and have him brought in, and he would preach to Herod, and he would say, what you're doing is wrong. Now, I think I would have felt like, okay, I've already told him that, and I ended up in prison, so since I've already told him, I don't need to tell him again. I'm going to say, Herod, I was noticing, in the prison, there are a number of things that I believe we could do to make it run better. Probably wouldn't have worked any better. But he keeps telling Herod. He kept telling him, what you're doing is wrong. Herod didn't want to hear it, but he kind of knew he needed to hear it. And so he would repeatedly send for John and listen to what John had to say. It isn't the only thing John said to him. What was John's main message? Repent, the kingdom's at hand. What was John's purpose in life? Identifying Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I baptized with water. He is greater than I. So much so I'm not worthy to untie His shoes. I'm not worthy of being His lowest servant. But I'll tell you this. Where I baptized with water, He's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So he preached a lot about Jesus. Herod wasn't getting that. We'll talk about that a little later, God willing. Now, Herodias wanted him dead. That's the background. Okay? Herod had a birthday party. He threw the party for himself. Okay? It's nice when people want to throw you a party, isn't it? But Herod threw himself a party. I'm having a birthday. I want everybody to come. He invites all the top bigwigs, the military commanders, leading citizens of the region, his rulers, brings them all in. They're having a party. They're eating their favorite foods. They're drinking a lot of booze. And they want to have some entertainment. And so what do they do for entertainment? Bring on the dancing girls. Okay? That's what happened. Uh-oh is right. And so here comes his stepdaughter, Herodias' daughter, is brought in and she does a dance that is famous to this day. couple of thousand years later, people are still familiar with what she did because she could dance. Okay? I can't even watch the dancing shows on television. I'm just telling you, they are so lewd. They are so crude. They are so immoral. You've got people acting out sexual relations on a dance floor and calling it beauty and art. No, it's not. It's porn. Okay? The fact that you're wearing leotards doesn't make it okay. And that's apparently the kind of thing she did, because Herod got so worked up watching that when she was done, and it didn't just please him, it pleased the guests. Everybody's like, And so Herod, seeing all of this, getting all excited, says to her after she's done, you can ask me for anything you want up to half my kingdom and I'll give it to you. What can I do for you? Okay? Would you say he was a little hot and bothered? This is a guy who's just offered to give away anything, anything, any amount of money, anything at all, up to half my kingdom, baby, it's yours. You say, well, I mean, this is his stepdaughter. I mean, that's creepy, isn't it? Yes, it's creepy. But he already married his sister-in-law. You understand? Herod was not a good guy. Now, compared to Herodias, he was a prince. But the fact is, he was a bad man, married to a bad woman. And she had a bad daughter. And when I say bad, I don't mean good. Understand? And when I say fat, I don't mean beautiful. P-H-A-T. We like to take words, apparently, these days and make them mean something different. Well, let me just tell you. When I say he was a bad man, I mean he was a bad man. When I say Herodias was a bad woman, she was worse than he was. And this daughter, growing up in that environment, you can kind of understand why she might be sort of messed up. Okay? Mommy has just married Uncle Herod. And he keeps looking at me funny. Okay? This is a dysfunctional family. Can we all say dysfunctional family? Right? Right? Bad. Messed up. And so, she says, up to half the kingdom. Boy, I was just hoping for a chariot. That's what they used to want instead of a car before they had cars. Okay. I was just, you know, I mean, I'm up to half the kingdom. I hardly know what to ask for. I'm just a young girl. And so she goes to her mom, that paragon of motherly virtue and wisdom, and says, Mommy, what should I do? Uncle Herod, I mean Daddy, has just offered me up to half the kingdom. What should I do? And her mother says, get me the head of John the Baptist. That sounds sick, doesn't it? What would you think if your mom said, I want you to bring me that guy's head cut off? If anybody ever asks you to do something like that for him, say no. Okay? You know, but she's my mother. Okay, yeah, she's psycho. All right? If that's what she's asking for, she's a bad lady. You don't have to do what she says. You understand? But she's my mother. You want to end up like her? Okay? Don't do that! But she goes back and she says to Herod, I want you to bring me the head of John the Baptist on a platter immediately. Notice, they put immediately because apparently Herodias knew that if we didn't include that clause in the contract, he'd say, okay, you can have that when he dies. Okay? But it's like, no, I want this now. And Herod was pained by this. I mean, he didn't say, oh, wow, I got off easy. Now, I thought you were going to ask for half of my gold. I thought you were going to ask for a wing of the palace. She could have had anything. Do you understand that? She could have had anything. And she gets the head of a dead man. It's not a good deal. But what she wanted was her mother's approval. What she wanted was for that crazy bat lady to say, good job. Let me just tell you something. If you're not careful, you can end up doing bad things in order to try and please people who are messed up. Because no matter how messed up your parents may be, some parents are really good folks doing the best they know how. But a lot of parents are messed up. Really messed up. And if your parents are messed up, they're still your parents and you're still going to want their approval. It's just a fact. It's not because there's something twisted with you. You want your parents to like you. No, that's the way we're wired. Okay? It's natural to want your parents' approval. I told my mother when I was a teenager, it seems to me that if I make a C, you think I should have made a B. If I make a B, you think I should have made an A. If I make an A, you think I should have made an A+. If I make an A+, you think I should have taken a harder course. What was I saying? I was saying, I can't please you. Nothing is ever enough. No matter what I do, you're always moving the carrot further out. You always want me to do more. Can anybody here relate to that? I'm just telling you, that's the way I felt. My mother said, is that really the way you feel? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be that way. I said, I know it's because you love me and you want me to achieve as much as possible. But please, sometime, could you just say, good job? Well done? At my mother's graveside, one of my brothers said, I think to a great extent, all of us owe our worldly success to the fact we wanted to please Mom. My oldest brother went to Harvard and became a Harvard professor and just, you know, I mean, Mr. Stellar, internationally famous surgeon. So no pressure on the rest of us. I'm just telling you, this young woman did something that all of us at one time or another are likely to relate to, and that is to be tempted to do something we shouldn't. Maybe it's cheat on a test. Maybe it's lie. But we're tempted to do something in hopes of gaining our parents' approval. It's not worth sinning. It's not worth sinning. It's not worth sinning. Your parents don't have to be terrible people in order for you to have that temptation. You understand? If you are tempted to do something that's wrong in order to try and gain your parents' approval, watch out. It's a strong temptation and it's dangerous. This young woman gave into that temptation. She did something that was wrong. And then Herod did something that was wrong. Because now he has publicly made a promise and she's asking for something that he has the power to give her. And he thinks about his guests. It says he didn't want to do it, but he thought about his guests and he remembered what he'd said and he'd taken an oath. Oaths, actually. And so he told the executioner to go. And the executioner went. and cut off John the Baptist's head and brought it to her on a platter. And she gave it to her mother. Let me ask you a question. Did that solve her problems? Did that make Herodias' daughter, Salome, have a good life? Okay. Now Salome's fixed. Everything's good. Mom and Dad are happy. No. Sinning never fixes things. Doing the wrong thing will never get you the satisfaction and the peace that only comes from God. So it didn't solve it for Salome. It didn't solve it for Herodias. It didn't solve it for Herod. And now that John the Baptist is dead, when God is moving and miracles are happening, Herod is thinking, oh no, John the Baptist has come back to life. You better believe this guy had nightmares. The man I had killed, I knew he was telling the truth. I knew he was a prophet sent from God. And I had him killed, and now he's back. I'm in trouble. Herod was in trouble, but it wasn't because John the Baptist had come back to life. It's because he had missed the focus of John the Baptist's message. It wasn't just about repentance. It was about prepare the way of the Lord. Jesus, the Messiah, has come. The true King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He has now come on the scene. And Herod missed that. Again, look at the start of the story. King Herod heard about it because Jesus' name had become well known. Some said John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and that's why miraculous powers are at work in him. Others said he's Elijah. Still others said he's a prophet, like one of the prophets from long ago. When Herod heard of it, he said, John, the one I beheaded, has been raised. The biggest mistake of Herod's life was not having John's head cut off. The biggest mistake of Herod's life was not marrying his sister-in-law. The biggest mistake of Herod's life was not recognizing who Jesus is. You understand? Because living a moral life won't save you. None of us are good enough. And saying no to your wife that you shouldn't have married in the first place, and no to her daughter, who you shouldn't have been watching dance. Well, she's a very good dancer. I'm going to try and say this one more time. I am not saying that dancing is wrong. The Bible encourages us to dance before the Lord. Perfectly legitimate to dance and celebrate in praise to God. It is not wrong to dance. But some dancing is wrong. Some dancing is wrong. And dancing that is designed to try and get people sexually excited, it's wrong. Understand? That is not honoring to the Lord. And it has torn up a whole bunch of relationships. Okay? So I'm just telling, well, but you know, I mean, it's what people do. Getting drunk is what people do. That doesn't make it okay. Stealing is what people do. It doesn't make it okay. Lying is what people do. It doesn't make it okay. Don't be a party to that stuff. He said party. I said, don't be a party to that stuff. Don't be a part of it. Is that clear? But if you say no to this, and you say no to this, and you say no to this, but you don't say yes to Jesus, you're still going to burn in hell. Is that clear? The biggest mistake of Herod's life was that he didn't recognize who Jesus was. I want to beg you, don't be like Herod. Don't make the mistakes he did. Don't be like Herod. Don't be like Salome. Don't be like Herodias. Salome did the wrong thing because she wanted approval. Herodias did the wrong thing because she hated the truth. And therefore she wanted the messenger dead. Herod did the wrong thing because he loved sin and was weak-willed and drank too much and did what other people around him told him to do. John the Baptist got his head cut off. 2,000 years later, everybody knows he was the right guy. He was a champion. He did good, to use a colloquial figure of speech. And Jesus? Jesus is who he said. Other people's opinion didn't change him. Whether people recognized who he is or not, he's still the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And one day every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord. So I plead with you, while you have the opportunity, put your trust in Jesus. Recognize who he is. And ask him to take charge of your life. To forgive your sins. Rescue you. And he will. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for loving us. We know we don't deserve it, but we are so grateful that you have chosen to love us. We thank you for sending Jesus, and we thank you for the truth of this book, that we can learn from it still today. We pray that you would use your word to renew our minds and transform our lives, and we will give you all the praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen.